preacher's coming to preach, Brother Mike Pelletier. I didn't get that right, did I?
You did.
Our preacher's coming to preach for us again tonight. You pray for him as he preaches.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. We had a Thanksgiving song that we sang this year. It goes, praise God, praise God. Have you ever sung it? You know the words, praise God, 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 praise God. I wrote that. No. No, it's not too hard to write that one. Just throw the words in. I heard somebody preach that somewhere, and that's really good. Well, I do want to say thank you to the choir. The choir bought me a fruit basket, and I appreciate that it was a fruit basket and that it wasn't a basket full of candy bars, because I would gain a lot of weight this week, and I appreciate that. And then those who got the prophet's chamber ready, I appreciate that. And then, so it's just been so nice so far to have all that kindness. And I'm also going to be spending a couple of days over at the Jupiteries, because we're good friends. We go way back. And so I'm going to mix between going to the prophet's chamber there, but I'm going to use that prophet's chamber too this week, because I'll be getting some studying done in there. Because if I'm with Brother Gary, we'll talk all day, won't we, brother? So we have a great time together. And so I'm really looking forward to some time with you, brother. And then I'm going to try to fit in a little time with Pastor, too. I enjoyed Pastor when we went to Panera Bread. And I really did not tell you the whole story of that car accident. I was driving along, and there was this guy that came into my lane. And I had to swerve to get out of my lane. I hit somebody else, and it was Pastor. He ran me off the road. No, that's not true. But he did go by me when I was standing there. And he didn't even stop to see if I was bleeding to death. But no, he didn't know that was me, but he wondered, and he was right. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's stand together out of respect for God's Word. And as we stand, I'd like us to turn this evening to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. All right, we're going to read that familiar verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we go to this familiar verse, that we would look at it again and look at it and apply it to our lives. And I pray, Lord, you'll help me as I preach, that we would have our hearts spoken to. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your guidance and your Holy Spirit, that we are not doing this work alone. We are laborers together with you, that you would never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you love your church, and that you want it to be what it needs to be for your glory, but also for our good. And so, Father, use the meeting one sermon at a time. Help us in the pulpit, out of the pulpit. Help this be maybe the beginning of a time that we have together, maybe through the years. But whoever, whenever we get together, we pray we'll build and edify and go toward revival. Bless the service tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Pastor, I'm going to move these down here because I'm afraid I'm going to get them wet if I don't move them. Psalms 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, each person has a foundation that they build their lives on, their life on. Some people, they build their life on popularity, whatever would make them more popular, that's what they'll do. Some people, it's making money, whatever they could do to get another dollar, that's what they do. I was one day getting ready to preach in a Christian school, and I had to break ice off of my windshield. It was that cold. I could see my breath. But there was a group of young people waiting to get picked up by the public school, and they were standing there waiting for the bus. And I noticed that there was a girl standing there in a miniskirt. Now, here I was breaking ice off my windshield, and she was standing there in a miniskirt. I thought her foundation for life was not brains. Okay, she wanted to get a man any way she could, even if she had to use inappropriate dress. Now, every one of us has a foundation, something that we build our lives on. And the Bible is really the foundation we should be building our lives on. And what we build our life on is going to determine the quality and the strength of our life. You know the story about the two builders, one builds on the rock, one builds on the sand. And so the foundation is very important. Now, as we're in this meeting, revival meetings, I think it's good to have a foundation for revival. And this verse is a great one for revival. And so as we look at this, God starts off talking about this with this little word. It's the word if, I-F. And so if we do this, then God says he will do that. If we humble ourselves and we've got a lot of pride, if we pray, we don't do that as much as we should, seeking God. But then if we turn from our wicked ways and all of these things, then God says he will hear from heaven, hear our prayers again, forgive our sins instead of judge them, and heal our land. And that is any land that we need healed, including America, but also our personal lives, okay? Mainly, our relationship with God gets fixed, and anything that God can do, he will do, as is what he is saying. So I'm going to speak to us this evening about revival and just kind of do a foundation for revival so that we have the right approach to the revival meeting. It's going to be a short week, but there are some things that are necessary for us to have a revival. And if we do these things, it'll be the start toward what we're seeking. Now, the first thing, there needs to be simply an understanding of sin, an understanding of sin. If my people will turn from their what? Wicked ways. Now, why do we want to take a little time to look at what wicked ways are? Because the Bible says in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar. And so there are many lies that are going around about sin. Some of them, we're telling lies about sin, and we're telling lies to ourselves about some things that we know to be wrong. But we've got to understand what sin is and become honest with ourselves and then turn from these things. Now, first lie that the devil gives is he gives sin does not exist. In other words, it's just a three-letter word created by religious people to try to control other people. It's a three-letter word created by mom to keep me under her thumb. Don't talk back to me, boy, that's sin. It's a three-letter word created by the pastor. Don't miss church, that's sin. Don't rob God of tithe, that's sin. And that lie is that sin does not exist. It's just opinion of whatever you think. Now, if you go into an ambush and you don't see your enemy hiding around a corner or something or hiding behind rocks, that enemy with that ambush will defeat you. But if you see it coming, maybe you can have a little bit better in result of that battle. Now, we look around and we are being ambushed by sin, but the problem is we're not seeing it as sin. We're not seeing sin as existing. It's just something that's created by a certain group of people. Like this church has this opinion, that church, and then that person and that person. And so really it comes down to whatever anybody thinks. Now, one of the reasons that we think maybe sin is not so bad or doesn't really exist is because there's so many nice people that are doing it. Now, there are nice people that we would call friends that would smoke cigarettes. Nice people we would call sin friends that don't go to church at all, but they're good citizens in other ways. There are really nice people that they go to a bar and maybe they don't get drunk. Now, if they get drunk, we'd say, well, sure. But then if they just go get a drink, well, we wouldn't necessarily say that's wrong. Many people. Because there's so many nice people, it can't be all that bad. But here's the thing. Even if everybody is living with somebody they're not married to, the Bible still says, thou shalt not.
That's right, man.
And when people do, even if they're nice people, it's still sin.
That's right.
And even if you're somebody that is really nice, and you're even coming to church, and if you are doing this, I don't know anything about it, and if you are embarrassed, I do not mean to embarrass you. But if you are living with somebody that you're not married to, God calls that adultery. And there are many positive things in your life, maybe, but this is no doubt sin. And we never get anything fixed with God until we call sin what God calls it, and we admit these things and understand these things are sins against God. Now, if everybody is drinking a can of beer and they're even coming up with beer and Bible nights, we still have to look at our Bibles. And we can't go by theologians now say it's okay. We can't go by even what maybe pastor might say, though we always listen. But we all, and pastor would attest to this, see what the Bible says and then we accept it.
Amen.
Now here's what the Bible says, don't be offended. We are in a day where people are changing the standards and we say, come on, don't change the standards. Hold on to the standards. You know what? Forget about what everybody says we should do. We want to go hold on to what the Bible says we should do. And here's what the Bible says. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And God is not just condemning getting drunk. Listen, man. Next time you start to think about walking into a bar and saying, well, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just having a can of beer with my friends. God says, wine is a mocker. And he's not just condemning getting drunk. He's condemning the substance itself. And he says, look not on the wine when it is red, when it stirreth in the cup. That's the fermentation process. Now, if we do not get honest, we are not going to ever get God. Until we understand what sin is, all we'll have is a shell of religion. All we'll have is just a surface relationship with God. But until we get honest about sin, and me too, all of us, we have got to become honest and say sin does exist. And it's not acceptable. Now, you can be somebody here tonight, honestly. How many people are going to church on Sunday night? Not too many, but you are. So that means you're no good? No, it means you are good in many ways. It means you're a God hater? No, it means there's something good about you and there's something good about us that we take the time to be in church on a Sunday night. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect though, right? But I am saying this, I'm not beating you up. You might stand 10 feet above another person. But I am saying this, you won't stand 100 feet above anybody, or you won't stand close with God until you acknowledge that if there are sins in your life, that's not good or acceptable, and we can't allow it. You cannot allow it. You can have so many good things, but you'll never have a real relationship with God when you hold on to things that God said don't. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to come clean, get honest about these things, and understand when I hit something, or if we hit something, or if God hits something, it's not that he hates us, or I hate you, or you hate me. It's that the Bible is what we say we believe, and we, whether we believe it or not, the Bible is what's true, and that's what is. Now, here's what God's word says sin is. Anytime God says don't, and we do. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. So thou shalt not lie. You lie, you sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're living with somebody you're not married to, or you're sleeping with somebody you're not married to. And I don't mean to be crude. Doesn't matter. if everybody else is doing it and you are a Christian and you're sneaking and nobody even knows it. God knows it, and I'm telling you, you can never get in a close relationship with God, and neither can I, until we deal with our sins. There also is a big problem right now in our churches with, and I don't mean to be crude, but I'm saying it's not just teenagers, it's adults, and it's not just men, but it's also women. There's a lot of filth that we're letting in that eye gate. And you know what the Bible says? If a man looks on a woman to lust, he commits adultery already in his heart. And the same would be true of a woman with a man. And so we want to just get honest with ourselves. Anytime God says don't and we do, it's not okay. And we are not okay. It's not that God hates us. We're God haters. We're total rebels. It's we're in sin right now. And we never will get any better until we acknowledge that we are in sin and we forsake it. But we won't forsake it until we understand that we are in sin. God says, honor thy father and thy mother. You know what that is? If you don't do that, that would be a sin. Here's the reason. Anytime God says don't and you do, it's a sin. But anytime God says do and you don't, it's a sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we've got to evaluate ourselves and see if we are not doing things that we should be doing. Now, most of the time, we would think, like, forgive somebody. If you don't forgive somebody, it's a sin. Right. But also, if you're not honoring your father and your mother, it would be a sin. I will say this, too. If you are not listening when the preaching's going on, that's a sin. If you have a wrong spirit, that's a sin. If you are not soul winning, that's a sin. Now, nobody expects a person to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God would not expect that. But he does expect that we're about the Great Commission. And many times, we will preach on all the things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, but we're not accepting this. God said, go, and most of us say no. And if God says go and we say no, that would be as much a sin as if our kids told us no. So I'm not saying that we need to do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or we're not right with God. But I am saying that any man, woman, boy, teenager, anybody who would say, if God says go and I'm not doing that, that would be a sin. So we have to acknowledge these things, or we're not going to have a deeper relationship with God, a real relationship with God, when we sin. Sin is anytime God says don't, and we do, and we don't. But then, turn in your Bibles to Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Psalm 24, 3 and 4, they're sins of the spirit and they're sins of the flesh. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. All right, there are things we can do with our hands we should not do. That could be fighting. That could be immorality. That could be holding a can of beer. That could be smoking marijuana between the fingers and using the mouth. And those would be sins of the flesh. Sexual sin, sins of the flesh. Sins of the hands. But there can also be the sin of the spirit, which is often what we're guilty of. And that could be a bad spirit with the pastor. That could be a bad spirit with your wife. A bad spirit with your husband or with your parents. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, I don't like you hanging around that guy. He's got a bad attitude. Well, guess what? There are good attitudes and bad attitudes. There are acceptable attitudes and unacceptable attitudes. And listen, there can be somebody that is not doing drugs or drinking or cussing or swearing and might even be teaching Sunday school and might even be serving and soul winning, but full of bitterness. Now, I heard somebody say, adultery has slain its thousands, but bitterness has slain its tens of thousands. Can I just ask you something? Are you bitter? Are you bitter? Like, are you thinking about somebody in the church that did you wrong? Or somebody at the last church that did you wrong? Or somebody that you really are mad at and bitter and you are not letting go? Now, I know that when people do us wrong, there's a way to handle it. We don't just sit back and let it punch us and punch us and punch us. It's okay to move your head. It's okay to protect your family. It's okay, even if you don't like what somebody does, to talk to them about it with the right spirit. If your brother offend you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But what is not okay is to have bitterness in your heart. Now, some of you are not very happy. And you know why you're not happy? Because all you can think about is what somebody did to you. But the Bible says there's a way to surrender that and with the grace of God to get over that bitterness. And the Bible says this, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then the very next verse, look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God and any root of bitterness spring up trouble. You get it. Bitterness is tied to seeing God or not seeing God. And if we have any bitterness in the church, guess what? We're not going to see God like we would if we got it out. So I'm asking you, is there a sin of the spirit? How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your husband? How are you responding to your children? Even if you're in charge of them, and you are you coming as a man who is mad and mean and harsh because of your pride? You can be a strong, good dad without being a bitter, mean dad. And you cannot be right with God if you've got sin like you have. Now, again, you're going to church. You're here on a Sunday night. Don't think for a minute that I'm saying, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? You lousy good for nothing. No, you're good for a lot, person. You're in church. Many people are not. And what we need in the country are more people like you that want to be in church. But what would be really good for our country and good for us is if we who are maybe better than a lot of people would finally get it real and right completely with God. And we could have as much of a relationship with God if we want, as we want if we get rid of the barriers between us and God. Amen. Now, the first sin, lies, devil's lie, is sin doesn't exist. The second lie from the devil that I want to hit is sin doesn't matter. Sin doesn't matter. Now, some sins we say matter. Adultery matters. Why? Well, you know, that hurts the name of Christ. Sure it does. Well, that matters because you get drunk and you drive, you could die. That matters. Here it matters. You smoke cigarettes, you're bad testimony. That matters. Yes, it does. How would you like to go to somebody and they'll say, ha, I know too many Christians to want to be a Christian. I've met people like that. I've met people who have said, I've known a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. It's a bunch of baloney. And you know why? Because we think that we have liberty and we can do what we want. And our poor testimonies are sending people to hell. And the Bible talks about that. But you know what? Those sins matter, but we need to remember that every sin matters. Every sin matters. Even the one that nobody else sees but you and God. No one else sees in me but me and God. Those matter. And you know what? I'm a human being. Guess what happens? I've got a sin nature. You know what can happen? I can allow sin in my life. I can have pride. And I do get it. And I've got to see it and get rid of it. And I can allow a wrong thought. And I've got to see it and get rid of it. And we've got to do this. Because our sins all matter. Now here's what the Bible says. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing before mine eyes. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing before God's eyes is what he's saying. How many believe that God does see everything? Amen. He does see, and he knows every sin that you've done this last week. I'm not beating you on the head, but if there's anybody here who's looked at pornography, God saw it. Not beating you on the head, but you better take that seriously. God does. If there's anybody here who had a can of beer this week, don't you think God saw that? And you better take that seriously with all the love in my heart. God does. Do you think that God knows anybody's sin in everybody's? Of course he does. And so what are we doing? We're acting like nobody sees, but God does. And you cannot hide your sin. We do it before God. And then we come to church and we sing, oh, we want to know God, but we can't know God and have fellowship with God until we get clean.
Amen.
Now, we have to be honest about these things. Sin does matter. A boy in Hickory, North Carolina came to me and he said he has a problem. His was the eye gate. I said, where are you getting it? In my bedroom. Where at? My TV. My parents put this cable channel in, filthy stuff. He said, I look at it, I feel bad. And then I get it right with God and I go right back. And then I get it right and I go right back. And then I get it right, go right back. He'd been dealing with it for months, maybe over some years. I don't know, I didn't ask him. But I said to him, you'll never get victory over it until you understand the number one reason if you don't stop doing it, the number one consequence. So what's the worst thing that'll happen if you don't stop looking at that stuff? He goes, I'm going to get caught. I said, probably, but I can think of something worse. He said, you're right. If I look at the wrong thing, I might become the wrong person, and then I could end up being immoral before I get married. I said, that's true. What you look at influences what you do, but I can think of something worse. He said, you're right. I could become a criminal, and I can take this to the point that I attack a woman, and I could end up in jail the rest of my life. I said, what you look at influences what you do. That could happen, but I can think of something worse. He said, you're right. God could have enough of my sin and said, I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you, and you keep doing it, and God could kill me. Now, could God kill a guy because he just keeps going on in sin? Answer, 1 John 3:16. There is a sin unto death. So, yes, God could say enough. You're not going to hurt the cause of Christ any longer. I'm just going to put you in an early grave. Or you're not going to hurt your wife like that again. I'm going to put you in an early grave. You're not going to hurt her. God could do that. But I said to him, I can think of something worse. He said, Brother Mike, I'm a Christian. I can't go to hell, can I? I said, no. He said, then what is it? I said, every time you look at it, and even if you never get caught, even if you never do anything worse, every time you look at it, you're breaking your fellowship with God. You hear me? We break our fellowship with God. Now, how many believe that God is good?
Amen.
That God gives wisdom? How many believe that God really can give you strength? And how about this? Can he provide by supernatural divine intervention?
Yeah.
And so God answers prayer. And all of these wonderful things that we have available to us in our relationship with God. But the moment that we are in sin, we break our fellowship with God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. That get it? He will not hear. He will not. Now, that doesn't mean he's deaf. It means he won't respond to you when you're holding on to the sin that you know he doesn't want in your life, okay? Now, listen. If you are a good person, but you are coming to church, you are a good person, you want to get close to God, you are seeking God, but if you are living with somebody you're not married to, listen. Fix it. Because you will never have a full relationship with God until you yield to him in this area. If you are somebody who is coming to church tonight, but you have an alcohol problem, abandon it and repent. You know how many cans of beer you need? None. But you do need a relationship with God, and you don't need one can of beer compared to what you could get from God. You get a little bit more than a can of beer. If there's bitterness, if there's pride or anything, we have got to get rid of these things. Now, to have a revival, there needs to be an understanding of sin. Sin doesn't exist. It does. Anytime God says, don't you do and you don't, sins of the spirit and sins of the flesh. Second lie is sin doesn't matter. But a third lie from the devil is a loving God will never judge my sin. That's a lie. God is still in the sin judging business, and there needs to be some fear that if you go home and you look at something that God says don't, or if you go home and you go ahead and you decide, well, look, I know it's bad, but it's not that bad, and you go ahead and drink, you go ahead and get intoxicated, you go ahead and do something God says don't, you may find that God's going to say, wait a minute, I just warned you about that, and the judgment will fall. Now, there needs to be a fear of God. God judges sin. The devil's a liar. God still judges sin. And everybody who dies in their sin will be judged. And we don't want that. We want them to be repenting. So listen, the devil's lies, but also we tell ourselves lies about sin, okay? Now, 1 John 1:9. If, what's the first word? If we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. Now, what does the word confess mean? The word confess means to see as another one sees. Now, I'm going to hold up this hymn book as an illustration. What color hymn book do you see? Everybody say it. Ready, go.
Burgundy.
Let's try that again. Ready, go.
Burgundy.
Okay, I think I hear it now, but I think before I heard somebody say brown. Did somebody say brown? Okay, you did. All right, I think I would have called that burgundy, but you saw it and you called it brown. Okay, I thought I heard that. Now, did anybody say maroon? Anybody say maroon? Did anybody say a different color? Okay, you said maroon. Okay, did anybody say a different color? Anybody say red? Okay, you said red. Now, there's a man. Now, women say mauve, taupe, periwinkle. Men say blue, black, red, brown. That's it. All right, so there's a man. Now, we are seeing this closely, but we're not confessing it exactly, okay? To confess something is to see it exactly as God sees it. Now, what we need to do is hold up our sin and see it exactly as God sees it. Don't hold up your TV shows and see them like you see them. See them like God sees them. And I'm not just trying to beat us. Don't hold up your language and say, well, everybody talks this way. It's not that bad. I don't mean anything by it. See it as God sees it. Hold up your sin and see it like God sees it. Now, we tell ourselves lies. This is not that bad. That is not that bad. And again, I'm not beating us, but I'm telling us, if God says it's sin, it's a sin. And we'll never have any more of a relationship with God than we presently have if we don't admit what we have as sin. Now, I used to celebrate Halloween. I still have an opinion that maybe some of you don't agree with and don't hate me for this, but I still have a little fun with it, okay? And I took my wife years ago to a haunted woods. And I'll tell you how brave I was. Everywhere I went, I pushed my wife in front of me. Now, I made it through looking like at least half of a man until I got to the last monster, and the guy told me to go up and grab that monster by the foot. He was laying on a bed. He wasn't moving, and I was not going to go grab that thing because I didn't know if it was a real monster or if it was just a mannequin dressed up to scare Sissy like me. So I wasn't about to, so I pushed my wife in front of it. Now, she wasn't about to do it, so the only brave one in the group, my sister-in-law, went up and grabbed Frankenstein by the foot, and when she did, he came alive. And he reached under the bed, and he triggered a lever that released two giant springs that were so powerful, they shot the whole bed out at us like that, and Frankenstein flew at us through the air like, and I was out of there. My wife caught up with me later. She'll probably never trust me to protect her again. But I got to thinking, what would have happened if I'd have gone up to her like a real man? And I got him in a headlock like a real man. Brought him to the ground like a real man. Ripped off his mask like a real man. I probably would have found out it was a 98-pound weakling that I could handle. But the mask made him look like something that he wasn't. Now, not trying to be unkind, but how many people in this room are here tonight? Good things may be about you, but you're wearing a mask. You're wearing a mask. This last week, cuss words came out of that mouth. This last week, this eye gate was looking where it should not have looked. But you're wearing a mask. This week, you are doing things that God said don't. And you're wearing a mask. And you know, we'll never have a revival until we take off our masks and deal with the things. Now, some people think that you need to confess all the sins you've ever done, get them up and tell everybody in the church. I am not of that opinion. But we do talk to God about these things. And if we've offended somebody, we go and talk to them and we work it out. But we are not going to have any relationship with God when we wear spiritual masks and we care more that somebody doesn't think I'm a sinner, so we never walk an aisle. I am not trying to get us to walk an aisle for the sake of walking an aisle. I am telling us that we've got to follow 1 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles 7:14 if we'll have a revival. Yeah, so there has to be this, teenager. Hey, guys, there's so much you could get from God that you will get so much more from God than you will from anything else. Yeah, adult men, so much more from God than you get from any can of beer. Any brand. Any brand. Beer will not enhance your life, but it could put you in an early grave. Let it go. Be done. How would you like to be somebody who gets your son into it and he ends up dying from a drunk driving accident? Let it go. Be done with it. Because one, God wants you done with it, and it's not good for you. Now, there needs to be an understanding of sin. Now, the second thing, as simple as this is, look in your Bible at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here's what God says. There needs to be a turning from sin. And this is what we need to do tonight, okay? Get started. God can begin to work and say, tonight, I see this in your life, okay? Turn from it. Tomorrow, he might point something else out. He might decide to just build us, encourage us. I don't know what God has for the week, but I do know what he has for us tonight is that if there's sin in our life, let's start by just dealing with the things that we know shouldn't be there, and let's fix those things. Now, we need to, number one, know there's sin, if there's sin. Take off the mask and admit it. Maybe you don't have to tell me, or I don't have to, necessarily you don't have to stand up and pray it at all, but you do need to confess it if you're going to get any closer to God than you presently are. But number two, there needs to be a turning from sin. If my people will turn from their wicked ways. It's one thing to know that we're in sin, and it's another thing to be willing to turn from that sin. And Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Now, do you want mercy? You and I, we can have it, but we've got to turn from our wicked way. Now again, our country is filled with people that are doing things God says don't. I don't think there's anybody who would argue that a bar does not please God. I don't think anybody would go into the bar and say, God's happy I'm here. I don't think that anybody would say, it's not wrong to look at things I shouldn't look at on the internet. I don't think anybody would say that. But it's one thing to know that we're in that, but it's another thing to say, I want God enough that I'm going to turn from what's keeping me from God. And so there has to be that time when you say, okay, I'm going to do it. My grandpa did. And I'm glad he did, because if he hadn't stopped going to the bar when he was young, I wonder what kind of life I would have had today. And what you do, generations are affected by it. So you have to make that decision sometime. If you're not married, I'm not trying to beat you. I'm trying to build you. If you're not married, you know why you're not married? Because everybody in the culture says it's okay. I don't blame you for being what everybody else is until you learn better. And God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. The marriage bed is undefiled. The whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, not being mean. But that's what God is talking about. Now follow me. You can change this and you can turn from your wicked way and get forgiveness. And there's nobody here that's done anything that they can't get forgiveness from. But there are all of us. There is this accountability to God that we all will be held accountable to God for these things. Secret sins, accountable. Public sins, accountable. Any sin in the mind, God will hold us accountable. And so, hey, we've got to understand, we got to turn from these things. Now, It says, turn, turn. And there was a day my grandpa did. There was a day my grandma did. And there has to be a day you do. You have to turn from your wicked ways. An alcoholic can turn. A person in sexual sin can turn. A person with pornography can turn. A liar can turn. A proud man who's angry can turn. And marriages can be fixed if we turn from our wicked way. Now, I have a friend who went to Bible college with me, and he was a funny guy. And I liked him a lot. But one day, even though he was going to be a missionary, and he was going to be a missionary, but he got found with a bad magazine back when the magazines were the thing instead of the internet. And he said, "That's not my stuff. Somebody tried to frame me and get me kicked out of Bible college." Now, because he was a spiritual leader, listen, guys, if I preach about a sin that you're involved in, which looking at bad things and it's a funny thing, I want to challenge you. God says fools make a mock at sin. And there's nothing funny about something that'll put a soul in hell. Just be aware. These things are bad. These things are not good. And there's nothing funny about somebody suffering in hell because of the sins. Now, so this guy was framed, and when he said he was framed, because he was a PC, that means he was a prayer captain, because he was a missions major, everybody believed him. And so they thought, I wonder who did that to him. Do you know what happened a little bit later? He was found with these magazines in his automobile. And he said, those guys are really trying to get me. But a little bit later, he was picked up by the police. Do you know why? Because he had attacked four different women, two of them at gunpoint. And everybody knows he wasn't framed now. And do you know that you and I can have sin in our life and still act like we don't, and unless we turn from it, there will be consequences for those sins. Now, I had a friend come to me, actually a young man, he wasn't my friend. I don't hate him, but I didn't really know him that well. I was preaching, and I mentioned a few things about our minds and our eyes, and I was in California. And he came to me afterwards, a college student, and he said, "You keep saying that it's wrong to have nudity in your home." He said, "I'm a college student, and I just think that God made the woman's body, and it's a piece of art." And he said, "So I've got these pictures up in my dormitory." I said, "It's wrong." He said, "Well, God made her, the woman, the way she is." I said, "Yes, and I don't mean to be crude, but if you're in fourth grade or fifth grade and you're starting, you better stop or you're in for a lifetime of trial. It is going to be addicting. It will be something you will have a hard time putting down. And when you give the devil an inch, he will take you a mile." Amen. And you need to be afraid of the devil. That's right. Yeah. He is out seeking whom he may devour, and he will get you and hurt you. And if you're in fourth grade or fifth grade, you're not too young to start thinking about keeping that eye gate what it needs to be. So anyway, this college student came to me and he said, "Well, I think God made the woman beautiful and I just look at it as a piece of art." I said, "Yeah, but God says, I can give you 174 billion Bible verses that say God's against nudity outside of marriage." Now, I can't, but I exaggerated a little bit. So then he said, "Well, I think God makes it a piece of art." He said, "God made Adam and Eve naked." I said, "Yes, God made Adam and his wife naked, not Adam and his girlfriend." And I don't mean to be crude, But I said that. And I said, yeah, it's evil. He said, well, I don't believe it. Then he said, well, you always say that God made everything in 7 days, 6 days and rested. He said, I don't believe that. He said, I believe that God used evolution. So I took him to the book of Genesis. And I said in Genesis here, it says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. The evening and the morning was the sixth day. And everybody knows an evening and morning is a day. And so it was 6 days. Not evolution. And so then he said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, here's the difference between me and you. I'm not perfect, but if I see it in the Bible, I'm going to admit that it's true. You look at it in the Bible and you say, well, I'll think about it. And I said, if I can prove to you that the Bible says thou shalt not drink chocolate milk, I can't. But would you be willing to give up your stinking chocolate milk? And you know what he said? I doubt it. There's the problem. Now listen, if you are not willing to give up what God says give up, you're never going to have a relationship with God. But what also you need to understand is that if you have to give up something that God doesn't want, you're going to get so much more that God will give you. Peace with God. A clear conscience. Answers to prayer, grace of God, relationship with God, fellowship with God, and the blessings far outweigh anything that you would get from temporary sin. Now, here's, we're just going into this. I think it would be good this very first day if everybody from the very corner, this fine young man is in church, has a nice tie, looks good, and he's almost as handsome as me, not quite. Okay? Kidding about that. But then all the way around here to Rebecca, all the way around here to our dear lady who sang and her dear husband, all the way to the back here. And we met a little bit earlier. Christian is his name. And we go all the way around to the very back, all the way up here and around this way. These two young men right here, extremely handsome, not as handsome as me. And then coming around like this. And all of us around here, these two guys, this fine man, this fine woman, this fine man, this fine man, this fine woman, and all the way over here to the very front, if we all would just say, God, if you speak to me about something I'm disobedient in, I'll obey. Amen. And why? Because we know this. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, then He'll hear our prayers again. I've seen some wonderful answers to prayer. I remember where I had a need. I needed, though you don't do it just for this, but I needed for the ministry I was doing $50,148 that month. That month I was bringing in about $2,400 to $2,700. So I was only short that month about $47,400. And it was a particular ministry we were doing. And I prayed, and I saw God answer that prayer. And when I saw that, you know what I thought? Wow, God can do anything. Amen. Now, God says He'll hear our prayers again. He'll forgive our sin. We either get forgiveness or we get judgment. And we need a relationship with God. So, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth, and here's the second word, forsaketh, shall have mercy. So, we've got to forsake these things, okay? Now, is there anything in your life God said, don't, and you're doing it? Don't, and you're doing it. How many of you have a sin nature? Would you raise your hand if you think you have a sin nature, okay? All right? Now, if you've got a sin nature, as I do and we all do, what do we have a tendency to do? Sin. So, is there any sin that you've allowed in your life that you need to get rid of? Okay. Then he says, turn, as simple as it is. Be willing to repent and turn from that wicked way. So listen, I made decisions when I was younger, and I'm not God, I'm not perfect. You ask my wife and she will tell you I'm not perfect. Okay. But I will tell you this, my wife will also tell you when I made decisions that I turned from some wicked things. And I'm glad I did. So there needs to be an understanding of sin. Number two, there needs to be a turning of sin. And then number three, there needs to be, in closing, a turning to God. A turning to God. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turning to God. Now, we get as much of God as we want, and here's the question. How much time did you spend this week looking for God, getting closer to God? Did you have time with God? If you don't draw nigh to God, he won't draw nigh to you. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the standard, but one thing I learned from my life, I was telling everybody, you got to read your Bible, you got to read your Bible, you got to read your Bible. And I was so busy telling everybody, you got to read your Bible, that I didn't have time to read my Bible. I had the look, but I wasn't walking that close to God. I've learned that I've got to draw nigh to God if I'm going to get close to God. And so what I like to do, though I read my Bible every day and I pray and I try to do that because I want a relationship with God, one of the most enjoyable times that I ever have is when I go out into the woods somewhere and I put my alarm clock down on my phone and I spend 30 minutes just praying. Some of you may spend more time than that, but you can do this as a teenager. You can do this as a boy. You can do this as an adult. I set my clock for 30 minutes, and I don't even know every time everything I'm going to say, but I just start talking to God. And sometimes, as I set my alarm, the phone will ring, and I don't pick it up. That's my time with God. Sometimes I'll pick it up if it's my wife. That's the only time I'll pick it up, but I won't pick it up for anybody else. That's my time with God. And why do I set it for 30 minutes? You say, well, you set it for 30 minutes because you've got to get on with the day and not get sidetracked, and you've got important things you've got to get done. No, the reason I set it for 30 minutes is because I don't want the important things that I've got to get done that day to get in the way of the more important thing I've got to do. Spend time with God. And you will find, if you draw nigh to God, you'll find him.
Amen.
When you search for him with all your heart. Now, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and you get as much of God as you want. Now, I give you a simple illustration. I had other things maybe I wanted to say, but we hung on some things a little bit longer on some other things. But let me just give you this, okay? And we've got today, we've got tomorrow, we've got Tuesday, and we've got Wednesday. Somebody says, oh, that's a whole lot. No, it's not. Draw nigh to God. Carve time out of your schedule, okay? Now, so we'll hit other things, but here's the thought. Imagine that you're inside of a cave and it's dark and you drop your flashlight. It breaks and you find yourself lost in the darkest crevices of the cave. One day goes by, you're not worried, you figure you can last a week with no food. 2 days go by, you start to worry. 3 days and you're starting to get hungry. So you do the only thing you know to do. You call your mother. You scream, Mom! I'm lost, lost, lost. So what? Who cares? Who cares? Comes back. Even your mother has forsaken you. Now all hope drains from your body. You drop to the ground and you wait to die. Then all of a sudden you see in the corner of your eye what looks like a glimmer of light. You stand up and you start walking toward the light. You have found a way out. Now, if you're in that dark cave and you walk toward that light, what happens to the light as you get closer to it? The light gets what? Brighter. But when you get away from it and walk the other way, what happens to it? It gets dimmer. And it will eventually go out. And what we have spiritually going on in our own hearts is a result of how many times we seek God or how many times we walk away. And this week, if God speaks to your heart, walk toward him.
Amen.
And if you are challenged about how you need to get close to God again, walk toward him. Take your cell phone. Go alone. And draw nigh to God for 30 minutes. Walk toward the light. If you feel like you're far from God, walk toward the light. I remember when I was a college student, I got away from God into some things that I should not have. It wasn't anything that would disqualify me from the ministry. But I remember getting so far from God, I began to wonder if God was even real. And I remember thinking, I don't even know if God's even real anymore. Boys, listen now. I don't know if God's even real anymore. And so I remember saying, well, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw nigh to God. And so what I did was I went into my room and I shut the door and I locked it because I felt weird praying because I was so far from God. I didn't feel right. I thought, why am I praying? I don't even know if he's there. But I hung on to it. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Let me try. So I would say, okay, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. And I remember putting my alarm clock down there on my bed because I wanted to make sure I did it for 30 minutes. And so I prayed for a little bit. Then I looked up. I thought it was 30 minutes. It was 5 minutes. So I go back down. I pray. And I look up. It was like 2 or 3 more minutes. I thought, man, this is really not working. So I got up and I started walking around the room. And I said, God, I don't even know if you're real anymore. I know you're real, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. And so I leaned up against the wall, and I remember saying, God, I'm doing things I never thought I'd do, and it doesn't bother me anymore. I said, make me care. And I got back down, and I prayed a little bit again, and I made it through 30 minutes. But I felt like all my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. You ever feel that way? So then Tuesday came. I went in, and I locked the door, and I made myself pray for 30 minutes. And then felt like all my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. Wednesday came. I did it again. And I started to feel like I was getting through. Thursday came. And I really enjoyed that 30-minute time. Friday came and 30 minutes wasn't long enough. And what I'm saying is I drew nigh to God and I found him. And if you feel far from him, you'll find him if you draw nigh to him.